Thank you very much, Laura. It's Rob McLaughlin live. It's Sunday morning radio here on City Talk 105.9. Don't forget, tonight, 8 o'clock, Trisha Goddard is here with Talk to Trisha, exclusive to City Talk. And then at 10 o'clock, it's Peter Price Unzipped. You have been warned. I'm delighted to say, joining me live in the studio, they've been here all morning as we've been enveloped by the mist and the fog. And I don't mean the programme, I mean the mist and the fog outside around the tower. I've been joined by Bill Chambers from Liverpool Hope University. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
You get a round of applause every time I mention you. That's really terrific.
Well deserved, I'm sure.
Does that happen when you walk into your university?
Never.
And also, I'd like to say that the very experienced writer and journalist, Peter Elson, is here from Liverpool Daily Post.
Good morning.
There we are.
Hello, how are you?
And the LDP Business Week is on, of course, here at 11 o'clock this morning.
With Bill Gleeson, yes.
It all ties in. And, of course, at 12 o'clock, Larry Neal is here with the Commons Touch.
That's right. It's a politics show.
Ah, yes, and no doubt he will be talking about the future of Gordon Brown, which is exactly what we are going to be talking about now. The front page has it. According to the Sunday Times this morning, MPs campaign to make Straw Prime Minister, something which, of course, has been denied today by Jack Straw, the Justice Secretary, who has come out and is publicly backing Gordon Brown by saying he is the right man to remain Prime Minister. And the story, according to the Sunday Times, is that one MP, one backbencher from Merseyside, has been slowly canvassing support for Jack Straw, and that is George Howarth. And that story, of course, has been denied by both Jack Straw and George Howarth. And the Sunday News of the World today carries the story that the PM is going to gamble £14 billion in a tax giveaway. He's going to cut fuel duty, he's going to cut the rules on inheritance tax and stamp duty, increase the working family tax credit, and raise the threshold for the basic rate of income tax. That's according to today's News of the World. Well, we know that something is in the air, what is in the air and what is going to happen. Well, I'm delighted to say that one of the men who should be able to cast some light on this joins me live on the line from his home in Manchester. He is the MP for Manchester Central, but more than that, he is also the chairman of the Parliamentary Labour Party. He is, in fact, the link between the Parliamentary Party, where there are lots of rumblings at the moment, as we know, and number 10 Downing Street. And Tony Lloyd joins us live and exclusively this morning. Good morning, Tony.
It's you, Rob. Where was my round of applause then?
Could we give Tony a round of applause? We don't normally do it for politicians.
You can make an exception for somebody from Manchester.
Yes. I could say that being a Labour politician, you don't get round of applause very often these days, but
it's been unusual.
All right, well, Tony, look, let's kick off. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. But the game's up, isn't it? It's all over for Labour, isn't it?
I don't honestly think you expect me to say yes to that. The truth is this, is that we've just had a series, and last Thursday in Glasgow was the latest of some very difficult, and for me personally, for Labour MPs, very unpalatable election results. But we know that Glasgow came a few weeks after the coup, for example. It would have been astonishing had it been other than that. I mean, I would have liked to have won by 3 and not lost by 300, but the reality is this still, is that the government, the party is in an unpopular position, but the answer to that isn't to say the game is up, roll over on your back, and for this reason. The underlying problems that lead the electorate to disillusionment with the government at the moment would be faced by actually any government with any prime minister. So if Labour were to say the answer is get rid of Gordon, bring in another, if we were to say let's go, as David Cameron asked, to the country, rising fuel prices, rising food prices, and the credit crunch coming in from America would still be there. So actually responsibility says we don't just pander to, dare I say, Rob, to the media agenda and run for cover, because it would be both wrong and irresponsible.
Well, I don't know if it's the media agenda, because every election that you have fought, whether it's been local elections, whether it's been Boris Johnson in London, whether it's been Crewe and Nantwich, whether it's been Glasgow East, you've lost them all in the last couple of years.
Oh, we certainly, well, in the last couple of weeks, actually, not even, we didn't have to go for years to have lost elections. No, I'm not disputing the fact that there are huge questions about how the electorate sees the Labour Party. What I'm saying is that the campaign around Gordon going isn't something that people actually express a view on in Glasgow. They may express a view overall on the doings of the party in a by-election, but most people do recognise that people vote in by-elections to give a good kicking, give a good warning to governments. It isn't about changing the government, that's not part.
But Tony, that's not how they vote in local elections or necessarily how they voted in London. And isn't the truth of the matter is that right now you are unelectable right across the United Kingdom?
Well, I mean, let's start from even the city you're in, where in May, in fact, Labour wasn't unelectable. Labour did relatively well in Liverpool. In Manchester, it didn't lose any seats at all on balance, and you can go through the technical level, but the truth is I don't want to pretend anything other than that nationally the party is in an unpopular situation. But it's not a question of being unelectable. We are the government. Governments are elected for parliamentary terms, and we will face an election in time to come. But in the meantime, the objective things that are concerning people, which is essentially the economy, these are issues that come in to us from America in terms of the credit crunch, and obviously oil and gas prices are externally dominated. Now, of course, yes, you're right, we could go into a state of panic and say, let's run for cover, but it wouldn't actually alter the fundamental problems that the country has got to face.
But let's talk about the problems in the Labour Party, Tony, because you and I both talk, you more than I do, but we both talk to politicians and Labour politicians. One sent me a note yesterday saying he thinks it's 50-50 for Gordon Brown to survive into September and the party conference in Manchester. First of all, confirm to us, these aren't just press stories, are they? These are the prime conversations that are going on within the Labour Party now about the future.
But will you believe me if I said that I've talked, even since Thursday, to significant numbers of Labour MPs? I won't pretend I've talked to every one of the hundreds of Labour MPs around, because I haven't, but I've talked to significant numbers. And actually, there is little appetite for, other than for the usual suspects, rather. There's one or two people whose names have been touted around now on a semi-regular basis as being malcontents, but they're not people, frankly, and this may sound a little harsh, a little brutal, they're not people of great significance in the Labour Party.
Including George Howarth, Merseyside MP?
George Howarth is a friend of mine, but George is not one of the leading lights in the Parliamentary Labour Party, and George has his own views on these things, but it is the same one or two names that are trotted out on each and every occasion. You know, you couldn't name the seventh person, you couldn't name the sixth person, you can name the usual one, two and three. And so the answer to your question very directly is no, there isn't a huge demand. You know, I've just been speaking this morning, as you'd expect, to friends of mine and colleagues who are in Warwick for the Labour Party's policy review, and one of the things I have obviously been monitoring over the weekend is what the mood of people there is, because it's one of the places where Labour people, trade unionists, people from the constituency parties, and my parliamentary colleagues have been together, and it's probably one of the few things this side of the party conference in the autumn, and the mood coming back from there isn't one about leadership changes, it's one about policy, it's about getting on with both the governance of the country now, but also getting on with a review of where Labour wants to be for a manifesto of the next general election, and how we do give them. This is actually quite an important point. You know, Obama was in Britain the other day. One of the things that he is seemingly giving to America and even across the world is this sense of hope, of change. And politics is about hope, and it is about change. And one of the things that we have got to do as a party is demonstrate that beyond the present economic crisis, there is hope of a better Britain. And that's what most people in the Labour Party actually want us to get on with, defining the policies that give people that hope.
We're talking live and exclusively to the chairman of the Parliamentary Labour Party, Tony Lloyd MP, the MP for Manchester Central. Tony, stay there for a moment. I'm going to take a quick break, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to pick up your point about hope and change and ask whether change is going to happen in number 10 Downing Street. Don't go away.
Rob McLaughlin on City Talk 105.9.
One, two, three.
They created music history.
They fashioned a generation.
They were just four lads from Liverpool
who shook the world.
They're all God. I'm not a God or the God. Not the God.
This
Robertson every Sunday night at 7. The Beatles. Days in their lives.
So we just get up and go down to the cab and play. It was very casual, you know, we just have our tea and sandwiches.
Join John, Paul, George and Ringo from their school days in Liverpool to world domination.
We all used to sign off every school day, and the two of us would just sort of sit there and write, I love we do, and too bad about sorrows.
With exclusive insight, shocking revelations, and never-before-heard interviews from the famous foursome, their families and friends.
The Beatles are treated like Britain's children. Britain appreciates us least.
The Beatles, days in their lives. This and every Sunday night at 7. Exclusive to City Talk 105.9.
Under the Data Protection Act, your company could be at risk if you don't dispose of personal information securely. If your business deals with confidential information, you need Planet Recycling. As one of the Northwest's largest data destruction providers, Planet are fully licensed to shred and dispose of data securely and cost-effectively. Is your company protected? For a free survey, call 0151 922 6668 or click planetrecycling.co.uk.
City of the Stars.
Hi, this is Alex Belfield and you can join me this Sunday afternoon from 1 for City of the Stars.
This Sunday stars
Carol Vorderman.
If I wasn't in every paper, you'd think, oh my goodness me, it's a bad day.
Torchwood's John Barrowman.
I said, I don't like it, I get dirty.
So I think there was a defining moment in my life.
And comedian Roy Chubby Brown.
I've got a lovely letter there from Slim as well, thanking me for being a member of Weight Watchers.
City of the Stars with me, Alex Belfield, Sunday afternoon at 1 on City Talk 105.9.
Waking you up on Sunday, Rob McLaughlin, City Talk 105.9.
Roy Chubby Brown on the radio. That could be a rather dangerous thing, couldn't it? I'm live in the studio with Peter Elson, journalist from Liverpool Daily Post, and I'm also joined by Professor Bill Chambers from Liverpool Hope University. We're talking live and exclusively to the chairman of the Parliamentary Labour Party, Tony Lloyd MP, who joins us from his home in Manchester. Welcome back to the programme, Tony.
Thanks, Rob.
Let me pick up the point you were making. You were talking about Barack Obama being in London, of course, yesterday, and you were talking about that spirit of hope and change. Let me put you right on the spot. The Sunday Times this morning is saying that there is a campaign within the PLP to make Jack Straw Prime Minister. True or false?
I think that's false. Jack himself has denied it. I suppose you'll say he would, wouldn't he? But think this through. Just anybody think this through. If they buy into my view that the malaise for the Labour Party at the moment is at least significantly caused by the issues around world energy prices and around the credit crunch, somebody taking over, somebody wielding the knife, Gordon lies dead on the floor, another takes over, they're going to face exactly the same problems. And anybody with enough brains to get into a Labour cabinet, and you know, you do need a bit of ability to get there, that's foolish at the moment.
But isn't the part of the problem, though, is, when we were talking about this slightly earlier in the programme, Gordon Brown's image, Gordon Brown's ability as a communicator, up against David Cameron, up against Nick Clegg, it doesn't quite work, does it?
Well, I think you probably mentioned the wrong one with Nick Clegg, actually. But anyway, David Cameron, let me concede, is developed a super slick act. I mean, he makes the present absence of oil look non-problematic. But Cameron, you know,
that's a very cruel comment, Tony.
I can be quite cruel. Politics can be cruel because, in the end, politics. Go back to what I said a few moments ago. Politics is about giving people substantial hope for the future. And the one thing that David Cameron has clearly not done so far is to give any tangible hope. He's given lots of the slickness, and he's certainly able, and he certainly thinks quickly on his feet, and he'd be good with Roy Chubby Brown on the radio, but he's not actually a very substantial political figure. Now, in the end, what the public will judge Gordon Brown on isn't whether he's up against a slick act, a good cartoon character, but whether he's up against whether he's able to demonstrate his capacity in the present the present issue the country faces.
I'm going to bring Peter Elson in a moment, but let me ask you another straight question. Do you think Gordon Brown will be Prime Minister at Christmas?
Oh yeah, that's an easy one. The question you should ask me, do I think Gordon Brown will be Prime Minister in 2011? And my answer to that, of course, is we have a tough battle ahead, but yes, in the end, I do.
Peter Elson.
Well, I think a week in politics is a long time, and Gordon's having a very rough time of it. But the election is, what, 2 years off? So I think there is plenty of manoeuvring time for him. Quite why the Labour Party are rushing into what appears to be a new leadership battle, I don't know. I think the guy's still got plenty of time to play with.
Bill Chambers, have you got a view? Would you like to ask Tony Lloyd a question this morning?
I don't think I have at the moment, thanks very much.
Oh, I'm very disappointed.
Well, you don't have a view.
I'm actually hurt.
Now, having spent a week with Claire Short in Montreux and hearing her perspective on these things, I think probably I better keep my mouth shut for the time being.
What was Claire Short's perspective? Well, it's always interesting.
Claire's view is always one of criticism, isn't it, of the existing party and the leadership, and of course the former leader. So, in fact, I suppose she's probably more favourable towards Brown than she was towards Blair. But
well, no surprise there. Tony, the story in today's News of the World is that Gordon Brown is going to try and relaunch himself with something like cuts in fuel duty, changes for the rules on inheritance tax, increasing the working families tax credit, raising the threshold for the basic rate of income tax. He's going to do all those things, but isn't the problem that they don't mount to a vision? And when New Labour came in, they did have a vision, they did try and present a vision. Isn't the problem is now that you've lost that magic?
Well, we've certainly lost the perception in the public's mind that we've got that magic, that's right. And that really comes on to what does the government have to do, what does Gordon Brown have to do to regain that? And some of it, you're right to say, is more than just even important individual policy changes. But be a little suspicious of the news of the world being given the exclusive on the government's budgetary programme, partly because I think it's illegal for chancellors to tell waiting journalist all do, and secondly because it would be pretty stupid to have it all trailed in even in August part of the media like the News of the World. But the what Gordon has got to do is to demonstrate what he is in actual fact. I mean, you know, those of us who've seen Gordon, and I don't know if it's been close quarters, but over the years, when you see the passion, when he talks about, for example, issues like education, when he talks with passion about the assistance in internationally, the things he's done on overseas debt forgiveness, things he's done in that area, or actually, when he was talking about the, and very controversial this, and I do appreciate that, but the Human Fertilisation and Embryology Bill, Gordon had a real passion for the fact it will be the application of science that will bring forward for ordinary people access to medical treatments that simply don't exist now. And there is a passionate Gordon Brown there that doesn't come across. He's got to do that, for one, to show that passion for the world he believes in, because it's a better world that he does believe in. The second thing he's got to do is to get back towards being seen as being the natural party of fairness, because we took a big hit on that during the debate, the row, the mistake on the 10 pence tax cut, because it left Labour bizarrely looking as if we weren't a party any longer of fairness, and an awful lot of ordinary people, and you know, I represent a constituency that was quite badly hit by this, an awful lot of ordinary people said, you know, what's Labour doing? This isn't our Labour Party, and we broke that bond with our natural supporters. So,
well, doesn't that raise the point that a lot of people make, that around him he needs some heavyweight, he needs some strong people who can stand up to him and say, if you have this policy, you've got to look at where it's going to go and how it's going to play in the country. Doesn't he need back some of those people who seem to walk away because they didn't want to work with him? And in particular, I'm thinking of one name that a lot of politicians say to me could potentially be a stand-in leader, and that's John Reid.
I very much doubt John would be the leader of the Labour Party, but I mean, John is a figure of strength and capacity. There's no doubt about that. What John wants to do in the future is going to be determined by John Reid, not by me. Even though I anticipate the next question, I do concede the point that at the moment, what we don't seem to have are enough people at the top level who are the big hitters. And we do need to reassemble across the government and across the party those people who can get out. jizz. But in the end, Rob, you know, I don't wish to be unkind, but the fascination with personalities will always, in the end, be outdone by the real need for the policies and for the strategic view, if you like, that vision thing that you just that we were just talking about a few moments ago. Because we can have, I don't know, Tony Blair was probably the best political communicator that any of us ever seen in his early days. I mean, as good as you get, but even if Tony came back 1995 style, if the public doesn't believe us in terms of the policies, then we ain't going to go anywhere forward. And whilst Tony at that time would have made a great Chancellor or whatever for Gordon Brown as Prime Minister, we could do a little role reversal. I don't think, well, A, he's coming back, and two, I don't think it is really in the end just about putting the right name in the box. It's about making sure that what we've got in the box is what the public finds credible, and that is getting back to that sense of social justice, that sense of fairness in society, and giving that vision of the kind of things that Labour wants to do.
Well, Tony, I'm going to have to bring this interview to a close, but it's been an important interview because I know a lot of members of Parliament aren't speaking over this weekend. But let me pull out the bones of what you've said. Let me try and pull out the headlines here with Peter Elson, who's a journalist. You said, first of all, that categorically there is no conspiracy within the Parliamentary Labour Party to make Jack Straw Prime Minister. You said that. You said also that with respect to George Howarth, who is apparently, but he's denied it, been canvassing for Jack Straw, he's not a significant player within the party, was one of the points you made. You also went on to say that you would welcome heavyweights back in the cabinet, the likes of John Reid, etc. And you also went on to say that what Gordon Brown now needs to focus on is policies that will no longer alienate himself, like the 10p tax cut, from core supporters. I think those were your key headline messages, weren't they?
Am I allowed just to subtly rephrase that? I mean, what we've got to have in the cabinet, I very much doubt we're going to see John Reid back in the cabinet. I think John Reid made his own personal choices in life, and that in that sense is up to him. So I would hate the focus to be around, as I say, the personalities. I think what we've got to have is a concentration on the policies that get Labour back where we want to be. But the big question this morning is no, there is no concerted campaign to unseat Gordon Brown, not for a named Jack Straw, not for an unnamed another.
Well, I can hear your telephone in the background. I presume that's the BBC trying to cash in on the exclusive. But, Tony, as ever, it's been a pleasure to join us. I know we've taken some time to try and get you on the programme, but I'm delighted you came on the programme this morning. As ever, thank you very much. Tony Lloyd.
And nice talk to you, Rob.